Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We put it all together for you each weekend, the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. This hour, we're going to take a look at some interesting stories. Doctors are calling for government to regulate fecal transplant procedures. What's up with that? Also, the health effects of probiotics on the skin. And I'm not talking about taking oral probiotics. Yeah, there are effects, but directly putting bacteria on your skin. Interesting story. Also, the health hazards associated with e-cigs, all coming up for you this hour. But first, this from the New York Times. And I have to say, you know, I always find that there's kind of a disconnect between the arts section and the fashion section of the New York Times and the politics section of the New York Times. Very progressive, very out there on the cutting edge. But when it comes to health reporting, they are extremely conservative. Anything that smacks of natural alternative medicine, vitamin supplements, they turn a jaundiced eye towards. They're very skeptical. They embrace a very conservative, mainstream, orthodox approach to medical problems. And so it was that they tackled the subject of Lyme disease recently, and they really missed the mark in an article by a person named Apoorva Mandavili. She's not a doctor. The article is entitled, "My Son Got Lyme Disease, But He's Totally Fine." Subtitle, "Horror Stories About Lingering Lyme Disease Proliferate, But the Illness is Easily Treated." And I'll read some excerpts of the article to you. "When I mentioned to various people last December that my 9-year-old son, Akash, had Lyme disease, many immediately told me horror stories. A parent at the school bus stop told me about a family friend in her 20s who has never recovered from her infection. A coworker at the neighborhood co-op told me that his father-in-law has had seizures ever since his diagnosis. Even a fellow science journalist," she's a science journalist apparently, "told me she knows some people never recover. But," she happily reports, "as we discovered in the few weeks after Akasha's diagnosis and treatment, many people view Lyme wrongly as a debilitating chronic illness instead of what it is, an easily treated infection with no long-term consequences for children or even the vast majority of adults." And she goes on to say, "the recommended treatment, a month-long course of antibiotics, is effective regardless of the stage." She quotes her pediatrician, Dr. Katarina Silverblatt of Brooklyn Heights, who treats a lot of these upscale folks who live in that fashionable part of Brooklyn. She says, quote, "we've never had a complication from Lyme that would be of any consequence." And so this author says, "if Lyme disease is so easily treated, why do so many people report chronic symptoms?" Well, I have an answer to that. The reason is that, contrary to what she says, and I've seen countless patients, Lyme disease in many patients persists. It is both easily treatable for some people. They have robust immune systems. It's caught at the right time. 4 weeks of doxycycline, which is the standard treatment, knocks it out. They're fine afterwards. But innumerable patients have what's called chronic Lyme. So the question is not whether they should get tons of antibiotics. The question is whether it's a real entity. And because of articles like this in the New York Times, the people who have chronic symptoms after contracting Lyme disease are going to be marginalized. They're not going to be taken seriously. This author, Apoorva Mandavili, speculates Some people have unexplained pain or fatigue may latch on to Lyme disease as a possible explanation of after getting an inaccurate diagnosis from a doctor who misinterprets the test. The doctor may then treat them for Lyme disease. And guess what? They're not cured because it wasn't Lyme disease in the first place. Well, maybe it was and it is Lyme disease, but it's not that easily treated, as she so blithely states in this upbeat article here in the New York Times. So clearly, this article is a disservice to the people who have chronic Lyme disease. And the battle lines are really drawn between physicians who take a minimalist view of Lyme disease, believing that, you know, it's a condition that can be treated and identified easily, and then patients are fine. And if they're not fine, well, let's attribute it to old age or to something else. You know, they have osteoarthritis, which, you know, after all, people get, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or they have fatigue. You know, who doesn't have fatigue? Or they have chronic debilitating headaches. Well, a lot of people have that. Don't blame the Lyme disease for that. Or they have a host of other health problems after having Lyme disease. And that's the other camp, the people who, like myself, believe that there is such an entity as chronic Lyme disease. The question is how to treat it. Are antibiotics the answer? Well, in some cases they are, but in some cases they aren't. And unfortunately, people get bombed with all too many antibiotics to eradicate a pathogen, which may be, and we don't even know, either very, very difficult to treat or may already be gone. And what is bothering these people is an autoimmune reaction to the previous insult to their immune systems of having a foreign organism inhabit their body. And maybe the antibiotics have successfully eradicated it, but they go on in an autoimmune cascade with a wide variety of debilitating symptoms. And articles like this, they're sort of dismissive of the symptoms and concerns of people with chronic Lyme disease. All right, this item. Doctors are calling for tighter government oversight over fecal transplant procedures. We know that fecal transplants are helpful for a condition called pseudomembranous colitis, caused by C. difficile bacteria. And in this article in Newsday, they talk about a doctor, Dr. Bruce Hirsch, who's been curing patients afflicted with one of the worst intestinal infections known to modern medicine by prescribing poop pills. Yeah, poop pills made of fecal material that's donated by healthy donors, hopefully healthy. They're carefully screened for infections like hepatitis, viral disorders, HIV. And then they literally swallow poop pills that are enterically coated. Hopefully there's no bad aftertaste. They open up lower down in the intestinal tract. Sometimes fecal transplants are administered rectally via a colonoscope, and they really work for C. difficile. But more and more people are turning to them for conditions like irritable bowel syndrome. It's even been suggested, and research shows, that there may be benefits in autism. Also, research is underway looking at fecal transplantation to change the microbiome in patients who have obesity, because it turns out that if you transplant healthy bacteria from a lean mouse to a fat mouse, the fat mouse will immediately start to lose weight. So the hope is that we can change the microbiome of chronically obese individuals, and the pounds will melt off. The problem is a cloud has emerged over fecal transplants, with the first death of a U.S. patient. And, you know, I have seen this coming because some of my patients, even against my advice, have undertaken fecal transplants with mixed results. Some have had good results, and others have had adverse reactions. And there are many accounts in medical journals of people doing it DIY, do-it-yourself, harvesting feces from relatives, for example, and healthy folks. They seem to be in robust, good health, but they transmitted some kind of serious infection. So there, it looks like it may be harder and harder to access this. It may be that in the future, and you know, I'm not entirely averse to this, that fecal transplants will be regulated like drugs. I mean, look, it's, after all, it's a biological material. It's natural, but even though it's natural, it doesn't mean that it should be given indiscriminately. And more and more, there needs to be more research on how to safely administer fecal transplants, how to properly screen for donors to make sure that people are getting good bacteria and not inadvertently bad bacteria. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. A worldwide leader in probiotics for over 30 years, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a superior formulation that enhances immunity and digestion to help reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a fermentation of 12 strains of live probiotic bacteria with wholesome super fruits and vegetables producing Dr. O'Hara's trademarked postbiotic metabolites, so restorative to gut health. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at fine natural health retailers nationwide, also available online. Discover the Dr. O'Hara's difference.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number for phone calls. Probiotics play a role in many conditions, not just gastrointestinal conditions. They're not just helpful for constipation or irritable bowel, but we know that there is a gut-brain connection. We know that there's a connection to metabolism, that the bacteria in our intestinal tract govern the way that our endocrine system functions when it comes to insulin resistance, for example. And we just talked about fecal transplants for all manner of health problems. Maybe in the future there'll be fecal transplants for people with depression or with Parkinson's disease. We know that there's a different type of bacterial composition for people who have neurodegenerative diseases and mood disorders. But it ain't quite ready for prime time. But what about the connection between probiotics and the skin? Well, here's a review that talks about that. Skin is the largest organ of the body and is constantly exposed to physical, chemical, bacterial, and fungal challenges. It's well known that probiotics are helpful for specific disorders, and studies have indicated that probiotics have special effects in cutaneous applications. That's right, applying it directly to the skin. It's called probiotic bacteriotherapy, and this review talks about its potential in preventing and treating skin diseases, including eczema, atopic dermatitis, acne, allergic inflammation, skin hypersensitivity, ultraviolet-induced skin damage, i.e. skin aging, wound protection, and as a, you know, cosmetic product to make the skin look nicer. So the current paper, they say, comprehensively reviews the different health effects of probiotics on the skin. Now comes in evidence, and this is quite fascinating. Beneficial skin bacteria protect against skin cancer. Okay, so a certain strain of a typical bacteria that grows on the skin. It's called strep epidermidis. Was shown to produce a molecule that kills cancer cells and inhibits the development of skin tumors on mice. This just came out. University of California, San Diego researchers report a potential new role for some bacteria on the skin, protecting against cancer. So it gets kind of technical here, but the S. epidermidis strain of bacteria produces a chemical compound called 6N-hydroxyaminopurine, or abbreviated 6-HAP. And mice who have S. epidermidis on their skin that didn't make 6-HAP had many skin tumors, but mice with the S. epidermidis strain producing 6-HAP did not. So, yeah, well, what we can do is we can make a drug, but we could also harness the skin microbiome to protect against cancer. They say that even when transplanted with melanoma cells, these mice who had the 6-HAP, the tumor size was suppressed by more than 50% compared to controls. So, you know, fascinating series of studies that suggest that there are applications to probiotic topical applications. It's called bacteriotherapy, replenishing the healthy bacteria that live on our skin surfaces. That is something that we are perpetually eradicating with harsh detergent soaps, with disinfectant soaps, with cosmetic ingredients that kill off healthy bacteria. And because we're clean freaks, we want to eradicate bacteria in our skin. The very same bacteria that may protect our skin from inflammation, from acne, from aging itself, and even from cancer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number is 877-726-8255 for phone calls. And you're listening to Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And kind of momentous news because, you know, those e-cigarettes that a lot of kids use, you know, walking down the street, sometimes you see people engulfed in big clouds of smoke. But they're not smoking cigarettes. They're puffing on little devices, little electronic devices that aerosolize the nicotine. Here's the theory behind it, without the harmful tars, carcinogenic substances that are present in cigarettes, nonetheless, you get a pretty decent pharmacological dose of nicotine, whatever the upsides or downsides of that are. And I have to say that, you know, for some of my patients, it's a good way to stop smoking. Because if you're smoking 15, 20 cigarettes a day and you need that nicotine hit, just telling patients to go cold turkey, that's going to be problematic. They're going to go through pangs of withdrawal. And sometimes I say, look, don't worry about stopping the nicotine. Just take the nicotine, chew the gum, use the lozenges, or if you like the puffing action, use a device like the Juul. Which is the ostensible reason for Juul being on the market. Unfortunately, and this is the law of unintended consequences, the vast majority of users of Juul, they're making things worse for themselves. And it's turning into a real gateway drug for kids, getting them hooked on nicotine even before the age where they can legally buy cigarettes. So in a momentous decision, San Francisco just banned e-cigarettes altogether within the premises of that city. And that is surely to be followed by more municipalities banning e-cigarettes, maybe even states. Federal government action is certainly going to ensue. So here's some statistics on this. This is very new because in 2011, that's what, 8 years ago, less than 2% of U.S. high school students reported having used e-cigarettes in the previous month. But by 2015, the percentage had jumped to 16%, and it remains in the robust double digits. And part of the problem is that it's very easy to conceal. With the advent of what are called pod mods, they kind of look like zip drives, you know, that you use for your computer. They're very miniaturized, and they use solutions with freebase nicotine formulations. You heard of freebasing cocaine? That's a way to really potentize it, in which stronger nicotine concentrations can be delivered. Juul has taken it one step further, and other pod mods that are equivalent, although Juul has really captured about half the market. 49.6% of the e-cigarette market. They really dominate the marketplace. It's a huge company. And it's also been invested in by the tobacco companies. The tobacco companies realize that smoking cigarettes may be passé and that they need to diversify their portfolio. So they just spent billions of dollars acquiring a share in Juul. Hey, it's a way to sell nicotine in a different form. The Juul and other pod mods use what's called protonated nicotine formulations. And these nicotine salt solutions contain nicotine concentrations 2 to 10 times those found in most free-based nicotine e-cigarette products. So it's like weaponized nicotine. Juul's website indicates that there's 0.7 milliliters of nicotine per pod. That's equivalent to approximately 20 combustible cigarettes. So you get a lot of nicotine. And the problem is, for a lot of kids, you know, one of the ways to get a kid to not smoke is to say, okay, I caught you smoking. I see the pack of cigarettes. I want you to smoke that whole pack of cigarettes right now. And that will be the most aversive experience that they've ever undergone. And it's kind of like, you know, what they used to do to teach dogs not to kill chickens, you know, hang the dead chicken from their neck. You know, it's like, yeah, smoke a lot of cigarettes, your face will turn green, you'll puke, and you may never touch a cigarette again. Well, there's no inhibition with Juul. In fact, and with some of these pod mods that are offered in fruity flavors, they taste good. They really are, they're sweetened and flavored, and that may be one reason why 80% of 15 to 24 year olds who try Juul continue using the product. That's a pretty good rate of getting people hooked. So it's pretty common to see on social media that kids use the term addicted to my Juul. These kids, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, they're addicted. And it's hard for them to get off. And when offered an opportunity to smoke a cigarette, well, you know, that's another form of nicotine at hand. And when they're old enough to get a hold of cigarettes and buy them, they may do it. So here's another thing. The adolescent brain is very much in a formative stage. And giving a very addictive substance to the brain of an adolescent. They talk about this also with relationship to marijuana. It sort of changes the brain. It gives you a hit of pleasure, of gratification, and it sort of wakes up the pleasure center of the brain and makes it avid for other potential stimulants, i.e. alcohol, drugs, whatever lights up your brain. So they say that adolescents and young adults who use e-cigarettes are more likely than non-users to start smoking combustible cigarettes. Also, they are more likely to consider using other illicit drugs. And so this is a problem. A coalition of 11 U.S. senators last year wrote to the FDA calling for the prohibition of sales of e-cigarettes in kid-friendly flavors. And there really needs to be some pushback, because what was originally kind of a good idea to help people transition off cigarettes has become a real dangerous epidemic that threatens the health and well-being of our youthful population. Here's an item that I think you want to know about. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. Well, that's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line and my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, among them two stand out, which help nourish your brain: Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP. Protosorb Magnesium, by the way, Protosorb Magnesium is one of my favorite products for treating anxiety, because magnesium has a relaxing effect on the brain, and we want it to get into the brain. And Protosorb Magnesium features a patented form of magnesium that easily crosses the blood-brain barrier, delivering magnesium directly to your brain. And curcumin has been shown to have an anti-inflammatory effect, good for neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, also for depression in some studies. Cogumin SLCP features optimized curcumin, which also allows free curcumin to cross the blood-brain barrier. Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP are highly innovative products that help nourish your brain. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's our online store, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Look for Cogumin SLCP and Protosorb Magnesium and other fine products. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Everyone's raving about the newest botanical superstar hitting the store shelves nationwide. Hemp-derived cannabidiol, or CBD, has been receiving a lot of attention for its tremendous promise on human health. Plus, CBD oil by CV Sciences is the trusted brand setting the standards in this newly emerging category of plant-based extracts, offering a variety of hemp-derived CBD oil products that you can count on. In order to make the highest quality CBD oil products available, it is important to manage every step of the supply chain process, from seed to shelf. That's why, from harvesting our EU-certified hemp seeds, to laboratory testing for quality and safety, to producing our exceptional line of products, we are committed to going the extra mile. It is our commitment to you. Join the CBD evolution. Ask your local natural health retailer about Plus CBD oil products by CV Sciences today. Follow us on Facebook and learn more at pluscbdoil.com.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, two stand out, which help nourish your brain: Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP. Protosorb Magnesium features a patented form of magnesium that easily crosses the blood-brain barrier, delivering magnesium directly to your brain. Cogumin SLCP features optimized curcumin, which also allows free curcumin to cross the blood-brain barrier. Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP are highly innovative products that help nourish your brain. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And how is it that you could end up with a dead spleen after a dentist's appointment? Well, this is based on a case report in the New England Journal of Medicine. And let's see if you could follow along with this, because these are presented as little medical mysteries, and you have to start guessing what could have happened. So at age 27, a healthy young man named Kyle visited the dentist for a routine cleaning. 6 weeks later, he ended up in the emergency room with severe abdominal pain, and he developed a pulsating lump in his hand. It was bluish in color, and it was throbbing. So, you know, what's the story here? Well, Kyle was an otherwise healthy man who worked in a bank, and he, like many 20-somethings, was a very busy guy, and he neglected scheduling dental appointments. But finally, things settled down at work, and he decided to finally go to see the dentist and have his teeth cleaned. Routine tooth cleaning. At the visit, he was told that he had some mild periodontal disease, gingivitis, and his gums were sore after the appointment, and that made him resolve to start flossing his teeth every day. He'd been ignoring his teeth. But he gradually started to feel kind of under the weather after the appointment. Over the next few days, he'd wake up at night covered in sweat. And he also realized that he was losing his appetite. He began to chug Tylenol to make it through the day. It wasn't clear what was going on. He felt knocked out at the gym during his usual workouts, didn't have his normal stamina. And somewhat unusually, a month later, he started noticing some black streaks coming down his fingernail. We'll come back to that in just a moment, because to we in the medical profession, that's very meaningful. But Kyle figured he must have banged his finger at the gym, maybe while, you know, lifting dumbbells, and bruised or discolored his fingernails. So he ignored it. Then developed a red dot on the palm of his hand, thinking that he had injured his hand lifting weights. Now, he wasn't the kind of guy who would, you know, was going to see a doctor easily. He was a busy guy, young executive working in a bank. But after a couple of weeks, he woke up with excruciating pain on the left side of his stomach. He decided to go immediately to the emergency room. And there they discovered that he had a high fever, over 100. His heart rate was elevated, also over 100. His doctor found he had a tender belly, especially in the left upper quadrant. And also when listening to his heart, there was a peculiar sound. It was a whooshing sound. And normally your heart's supposed to sound like blub dub, blub dub, blub dub. And that's what's called a murmur. And previous exams had never revealed a harsh sounding murmur. So ultimately, what they put together, I mean, all these symptoms seem kind of unrelated, but he had pain in his abdomen. He had these weird black finger streaks in his fingernails, and he had this kind of pulsating mass in his hand. And how do you put that all together with the dental visit? Well, in Kyle's case, he had poor underlying dental health and gingivitis. Having his teeth cleaned caused small micro cuts in his gums, which allowed bacteria to enter his bloodstream. And the bacteria flowed through his veins. And it turned out that he had something not that unusual. A fairly high percentage of people have this. It's called a bicuspid aortic valve. It's a variation on the theme of normal. It usually doesn't bother you, but it makes you more likely to develop endocarditis. And with bacteria in his bloodstream, the bacteria glommed onto his aortic valve and started to grow something called vegetations. And those vegetations made harsh sounds while the blood pumped through his aortic valve. And also, some of those vegetations got shot off into his fingernails, causing what appear to be little splinters, but actually are little shards of the vegetations that are shot through the arteries and then end up in your fingertips. And also in his arm, upstream from where he had this little pulsating mass in his palm, there was a large aneurysm because the shards caused a swelling and enlargement of his artery, and that caused the hand symptoms. And so he received intravenous antibiotics. Of course, he had to have a heart operation to remove his damaged valve, and an artificial valve was put in. And ultimately, he was fine. So the moral of the story is not to take you away from the dentist, but to show that sometimes you got to be aware of symptoms. You can't just ignore them. Get to the doctor before they materialize into something very serious. And oh, by the way, you know, I forgot to mention his abdominal symptoms. His spleen was completely killed off because of the blood clots upstream of his spleen. It's deprived his spleen of blood circulation, and his spleen literally died. And in an emergency operation, the necrotic spleen was removed. And yeah, people can live without a spleen. You can't live without a pancreas. You can't live without a liver. You can't live without a heart or a brain, or without two kidneys. You can get dialysis, I guess. But many people are walking around without spleens. And ultimately, his life was saved, and he was okay. But not after some pretty intensive medical intervention. This article is a concern. The average weight of an American man is 15 pounds more than 20 years ago. A recent study found that the average weight of American men has increased by about 15 pounds over just the last two decades. Dr. Gautam Rao, chairman of the Department of Family Medicine at Case Western Medical Center, told ABC News, this rate is always a cause for alarm. The prevalence of obesity in adults has increased since 2006. It's true for kids as well. We're even seeing more children with adult problems like high blood pressure, fatty liver, adult onset diabetes. Here's the stats. The average weight of U.S. men over the age of 20 has increased to, get this, 195.7 pounds. That's the average weight. I, at the age of 66, 162 pounds. The former average was pretty high, 180.7 pounds, based on data from 1988 to 1994. Two decades, 15-pound increase. And for women, not much better. The average woman in 1960 weighed 140 pounds. Today, the average weight for a woman, the average weight, check this out, 168.5 pounds. And weight of adolescence is also on the uptick. So, you know, serious problem in this country. I mean, we talk about global warming, we talk about nuclear proliferation, you know, many crises face us, but, you know, one of the real big crises is the health crisis. Our food supply, our sedentary lifestyles contributing to an epidemic of obesity and degenerative diseases. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine radio program. Thanks for joining us. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider a part of their daily health routine. I've received countless questions from my audience asking for a specific recommendation, so I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, the same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit, a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immune protocols and much more. Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.